This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Here's a folk song this morning to open our programme. A one by Joni Mitchell. It's one I used to sing myself a long time ago, and it's called The Circle Game. It's all about living our lives right now, not wishing and hoping for better things to happen some way down the track. How many of us as children wished our lives away wanting to be older? How many of us now look back and wish for our youth again? Life is to be lived now meaningfully, the song seems to say. Enjoy each moment, whether you're old or young. Here it is.
Yesterday, a child came out to wander. Caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful when the sky was full of thunder. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came. Child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like "when you're older" must appease him, and promises of someday make his dream. The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came, and go round and round and round in the circle.
This story that I'm about to tell you this morning was signed anonymous, so I can't give credit to anyone for it, but it's well worth giving it some thought today. A wealthy man had a large number of children, but their mother had died. As he had to go abroad for long periods on business, he made very careful plans for their care and education. He took a large house by the seaside, hired nurses, cooks, gardeners, and strict tutors, and settled his children into their new home together with a number of cousins and friends as well. He had ponies for his children to ride, but chose only safe, docile beasts. He had barbed wire fences erected at the top of the cliffs, and saw to it that every single danger was eliminated. He instructed the staff to watch over the children diligently day and night, and take great care of them, and make sure they obeyed his rules, which, after all, were for their own good and protection. Then he went on his long journey. 3 years passed, and the father returned. It was a happy reunion. All the children seemed well, and had grown taller. There'd been no serious illnesses or accidents, and they'd made steady progress with their schooling. At the same time, their father felt there was something lacking. The children seemed withdrawn and listless, their faces pale and unsmiling. He soon decided what was wrong. He gave all the staff a month's notice and told the children that after that they would have to look after themselves. There would be food for a year, but then after that they would have to cook it themselves, and there would be no food unless they grew it themselves. He replaced their ponies with more spirited ones, and had the barbed wire and every other safeguard completely removed. He granted them total freedom. Then he went off again on his business journey. At first the children thought this was great fun, to have no nursemaids or tutors to tell them what to do. They indulged themselves. They could eat whatever they liked, whenever they liked, and they could do whatever they liked. But soon, however, they found it was not so funny. None of them was much good at cooking, or farming for that matter. In the second year they nearly starved. Some became quite ill. Infighting and petty squabbles took place. One boy fell from a tree and broke his arm. One girl was thrown from her horse and broke her leg. One boy fell over the cliff and was killed. When their father returned at the end of 3 years, they had suffered a great deal. He was grieved to hear of the tragedies and to find they had met with such trouble. But then he noticed that his children were more alert, wiser, more mature. They had grown inwardly as well as in physical stature. Now you may well be asking, what kind of father is this who sets out such strict rules and regulation? What kind of father is this who gave his children absolute freedom? Or might it be said that the father's gifts of the law and freedom were misused, disregarded, and unappreciated? Here's a song by the SATB Choir, written by Bernadette O'Farrell, called Christ Be Our Light.
Shine in our hearts, shine through the world.
Which of these two extremes would you have wanted as a child growing up? Restrictions, bordering on oppression, or complete freedom with the risk of wild and uncontrolled behaviour? We all value freedom, of course we do, but without rules, there could well be disorder and mayhem. We live in a world today that contains both of these extremes, and each seems to despise the other. The void between them is vast and deep. Both extremes have their dark shadows. Chapter 9 of the book of the prophet Isaiah, our reading today, tells of a great light entering a world of darkness, just as we heard in our previous song. Isaiah prophesies that this light would enter the world through Galilee by way of the sea. He writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So who or what was this light that Isaiah spoke of? A few verses later, he reveals the answer. A child would one day show us the way. He writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now Matthew applies Isaiah's prophecy to Jesus, who comes walking by the Sea of Galilee to begin his ministry there preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And it's there that the people begin to follow him. Matthew tells us, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. "Will you come and follow me?" asks this next song, with words by John Bell.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me?
Jesus came, he addressed these two extremes. He rebuked leaders who enforced a multitude of strict rules upon the poor and downtrodden, without really keeping them themselves. And to those who abused God's gift of freedom and brought disaster on themselves and others, he called them to repentance and forgiveness. I used to lead worship in prison at one time, and on one particular Sunday, for some reason, I chose to take along with me a song by Johnny Cash called Walk the Line, and I sang it there. And one of the inmates came up to me after the service looking extremely excited. It seems that it had been the very first time for him in the chapel, and he just couldn't believe it when he heard a song there by his favourite singer of all time, Johnny Cash. That one song spoke to him. God used it and set him free. I just hope he's listening right now as I play it. Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you, because you're mine. I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine. I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine. I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Jesus too walked the line. He walked the straight line, maintaining a fragile balance between these two extremes by embracing both freedom and the law, but bringing them both together in God's love, just as God had meant them to be so. He showed us a way of living that would set humanity free by us walking his walk, speaking his truth, living life in all its fullness, by striving for justice and peace for all. He taught us not to seek revenge, to turn the other cheek if someone were to strike us first, and if someone had any grudge against us, to leave our gift at the place of worship and to go off and be reconciled first before offering that gift. Here's one of my songs. Help me see with your eyes.
Help me see with your eyes. Show me how to care. Help me love with your when it seems I've got none to share. And enter into my speaking, let your loveliness flow. From the center of my being, let your love grow. Understand their pain. into my thinking. Let your loveliness flow from the center of my being. Let your love grow. From the center of my being, let your love grow. I want to speak out your wherever there's a need, give me strength and courage. Let me go wherever you lead. And when the dark clouds gather, let your spirit blow, sending hope into your sunshine as your love grows.
Just as Jesus was commissioned to preach good news to the poor, to heal hurting people, to speak out for captives, unchain the oppressed, and recover the sight of blind, we are called to that ministry too, as his followers. And if we want to change the world for all humanity, Jesus simply invites us to pray, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. He still stands knocking at the door of our lives and says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. That can be found in Revelations chapter 3. St. Paul tells us if we open up to Jesus, the life we begin to live from that moment on is one where he will dwell within us, empowering us to live and work in his strength, not our own, and in the power of his Spirit. So instead of being trapped in the circle game of self-fulfillment, we begin to look outwards towards others and consider them and their needs. Before we listen to our final song, which is a beautiful medley of worship sung by Caleb and Kelsey, I'd like to close our programme today with a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, you've brought us to this moment, to a time of reflection and rest. Please calm us and give us your peace to refresh us. Keep us close to Jesus and his ways, that we may draw closer to one another through his perfect love. In his name we pray. Amen. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
We leave you now with a medley of worship. Bye for now.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Music fades, doll is stripped away, and I simply come home,
longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
Cause
when it's all about you, it's all about you.